We're talking about communication, and I entitled this, I'm an old hippie throwback from the early 70s, and I called it Communication Breakdown. Now, does anyone have a clue of what phrase, what song the group used that phrase? Does anyone know? Let me give you a clue. A guy named Robert Plant is in the group. Led Zeppelin. Yeah, okay, so I used a pretty unspiritual thing to name this, but I just thought, well, that depicted much of the problem in talking about communication. There is a breakdown. As we define it, you'll see on your paper there that it's a process, either verbal or nonverbal, of sharing information with another person in such a way that he or she understands what you are saying. Very simple. Now, the problem we get into is that there are numbers of ways that we can really mess up. And that's what you'll find in point A there, six messages in communication. And so it's what you mean to say is one message. What you actually say may be something totally different, right? How many of you wanted to say something and you start talking and all of your words come out totally wrong? I mean, it just doesn't happen that way. So what you mean to say, what you actually say, and then there's what the other person hears. Sometimes they don't hear what you actually say. They definitely don't often hear what you meant to say, but they don't hear what you say. And then there's what the other person thinks and hears. It sounds pretty crazy, doesn't it? And then fifthly, what the other person says about what you said. It can be totally different. So as you begin talking, you know, with them, they say, well, you said that such and such and so and so. And you're like, I didn't say that. What are you talking about? And finally, what you think the other person said about what you said. Now, you understand that you could continue this loop, right? That's called insanity when you keep it going pretty soon. But there are ways. There are really ways that we really can mess up as we begin to think through the process. So when you are communicating with someone, something that's vitally important, it's good to go through these six steps. You say it, you know, you think about what it is, what the meaning is, you actually say it, the other person hears it, and you ask them what they think they heard, and they communicate it back to you. And then you say either correct it or add to it. So that's kind of six messages in communicating. There's at least six, perhaps more. And then there's always in that the way you say it is something extra. It could be you can communicate nonverbal something. So if you say, well, I'm really interested in this project. Now, what was that again? You know? And, you know, there's some real, now that's pretty verbal communication, but if you're sleeping through part of it, you know, that has a tendency to communicate something. We're going to skip to C then, because you can read, I think. B has it all written out. But just looking at, just what are some barriers then to communication? Sometimes we're just, number one, too busy. Just too busy. There's no time spent. If you haven't figured it out, talking or communicating with another individual is hard work. It really takes time and effort. The second one I have a lot of fun with, especially with my wife, is called changing the subject. And she's a little on the sanguine side, and I kind of wish there was a flag that she'd flash up before she changed the subject. Because she, you know, I'm just getting into the one that we're talking about, and all of a sudden we're talking about something else. And so I said, well, why did she say that? And she said, say what? Well, I'm not talking about her, I'm talking about him. Now, when did we start talking about him? Well, we, you know, anyway. Changing the subject too quickly, so that can hinder communication. Another one, thirdly, is defensiveness. Okay? That's a... If you hear someone or you think that that person's an adversary, in Matthew 11, 18 and 19, records an interesting thing. When Jesus was saying, he said that, for John, came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, he has a demon. So here was John the Baptist, and these Pharisees were sitting around, and John was out there fasting, and he didn't drink wine, and he was just a real purist. And the Pharisees said, oh, that guy's demon possessed. I mean, like, they was out there eating wild locusts, really doing weird stuff. Says then in verse 19, it says, then the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax gatherers and sinners, and so forth and so on. And so it didn't make any difference. If they didn't want to hear the message that John the Baptist and Jesus had to say, they just invalidated it. And so sometimes the reason that we don't communicate with someone is just plain old defensiveness. We don't want to hear it from that particular person. We may be mad at that person or afraid of that person. A fourth barrier is assuming what others will say. Well, I know what they probably said about me when they got home last night. And then you get mad at me for what you assume you think they said. Okay? A fifth barrier to communication is peace at any price. What happens when you start talking and you find out you have a different opinion? If you hate conflict, you'll just avoid this one like a plague. You say, well, it did, but it's not really talking about it. We may have a disagreement. A sixth barrier to communication is a rejection of feelings. Boy, I'm really angry. And then your friend says, you shouldn't feel that way. That's really helpful. I don't know about you, but that really helps me out a lot. When my wife, I said, I'm really angry about this. And she goes, you shouldn't feel that way. And I said, oh, good thing. I just changed my feelings. I don't feel angry anymore. And no, it doesn't work. What it does, it shuts down communication. Because I wasn't saying I felt justified or anything else. I was saying, I'm feeling angry right now. I don't know why it is. You can help me figure this thing out. And so sometimes when we respond saying, you shouldn't, that can really shut down the communication. Or perhaps, maybe seventhly, a chronic interruption. Oh yeah, did you see what? Right in the middle of the sentence. The eighth thing is people, situations, and relationships change. Sometimes communication is hindered just in the simple fact that people change, situation changes, and relationships change over a period of time. And if you don't allow them to change, they can actually hinder your communication with that individual. The ninth thing is projecting your mood on another person. See, if you're a little bit angry and somebody says something to you, you're probably misinterpreted. You probably read it in the wrong way. I know none of you ever have this, but number 10, you want to speak and not to listen. I'm so anxious to get in my sentence or two, but I can't wait till they get done talking. Because they're hogging and talking, so I just can't wait to share my nugget of truth or my insight or whatever it is. And so you're always thinking ahead about what I'm going to say, what I'm going to say, what I'm going to say, and you're not listening to what they're saying. Okay? And then I put 11th one in here, you may not have room, but it's a looking away continually. Or even walking away before the conversation's over. I mean, I've had people do that to me. I say, well, what really interests me, and then they just kind of do it, I really have their attention, Or somebody's talking, the whole time they're talking to you, they're looking for, Susie over here or something. Now they're talking, they're always looking away, they're always doing that stuff. That intercommunication is still good. So how do we develop, how do we strengthen communication D? Well, we can develop very lines of communications. I would suggest you learn to begin to ask some questions. Learn to ask questions. And you got to be conscious about that, because some people, you're not trying to interrogate the person. And I have some people try to develop this one and just learn to ask questions. They try to interrogate the person. Well, how did you feel? But you need to learn to develop very blunt communication. Second thing is listen more carefully. Now this is in your online, isn't it? Is this what I'm looking for? Listen more carefully. What is the person really saying? And sometimes what's really been helpful for me is to listen beyond the person. In other words, not just listen to the words they say, but listen to their heart as they share it. And what is their attitude as they share the word, their communication, or their word with me? Because a lot of times that'll tell you a lot more than being on their side. And then there's a willingness to consider another point of view. Ask questions to help you clarify. If they happen to be someone of a different political party, for instance, it'd just be interesting to find out what their politics was. And do they just come from a long line of Republicans or Democrats? And, if you're trying to talk about something and you just don't agree with their position on something, you might want to find out why they hold that position. And that can strengthen communication. Another thing is just straight talk. Honest about positive and negative. That you're just telling things like it is, but you're not, you're not protecting it so much, but you're also not being antagonistic at the same time. You're just, this is where I'm at right now. This is the way that I think about something. And then becoming aware of coded and conflicting messages. Sometimes a person will tell you something and be acting or doing the exact opposite. Now, one time I was counseling with a woman, and she said, I said, well, how did you do on last week's assignment? I had to do this little project. And she said, well, I tried it for 2 days, but it didn't work, so I just stopped doing it. I really use my life, in my life, there's kind of a rule that if something doesn't work, I just quit. I said, oh, really? She goes, yeah, that's right. And I said, well, you tell me, what has your bulimia done and accomplished for your life? And she just had that question. Oh, I don't really function that way, do I? None of you ever done me. Function that way. So sometimes you can become aware of coded messages, even within yourself. You're talking about, I really like so-and-so, but while you're saying that, the anger is building up inside of you, and then you have to stop and go, oh, wait a minute, do I really like so-and-so? Do I really like dogs or cats? That happened to me recently. I always said I love cats, but I found out just recently I don't like them. So anyway, you have to talk to me later about that. But then the relational rhythm, E, between alienation and reconciliation, you might want to draw two arrows. That's how I have it on my notes. Every good growing relationship has two elements. One is alienation, conflict. The other one is reconciliation or agreement. That is just natural. And many times people will punt the relationship because there's some kind of conflict. In Matthew 5:23-24, therefore you're presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your offering there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. So, if you realize you have something against somebody, and they have something against you, there needs to be reconciliation. And of course, the Lord wouldn't have told us that unless there was some alienation first. And then from Matthew 18:15-19, I'll let you read that on your own. So one of the things is coming to understand that part of the healthy relationship then is growing. Now here's some levels of communication. And, nothing spiritual again about these levels. Level 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Cliche conversation, how was your day, what's your major, that kind of stuff. And level 4, a little bit deeper level, reporting the facts. How did the meeting go today? How is your day going? So forth and so on. Level 3 is kind of your ideas. Judgments. And level 2 is feelings, what do you feel about those things. And the 5th is just kind of a peak, or firstly, if you go to 5-1, it's kind of a peak communication where you really, really begin to struggle through not only emotion, but your belief system and so forth and so on with one another. And so in a relationship, the depth of communication is dependent upon the degree of commitment to one another. And it's important to understand that because sometimes in male-female relationships, you'll find them trying to get down to level 1 peak communication within the first 5 minutes. Okay? Now, that can defraud another person. Now, I happen to be like a number one and two level communicator. I mean, that's where I'm comfortable at. But not everybody's comfortable there. And so, you know, I used to just meet somebody and you'd be talking, well, how are you feeling today? Well, what's going on? You look like you're a little down today. And this is when I was single. And all of a sudden, this gal I was talking to was just kind of going, wow, this guy's really sensitive. And I mean, she just didn't realize I liked everybody like that. You know, that's just the way I communicate. So you can kind of miscommunicate with the men, if you will. So there should be a connection between the depth of communication and the commitment you have to the other person, or the loyalty, if you want to say that. Some of the attitudes in important communication, one is just acceptance. It's really nice if you do accept the other person. That would really help your communication out. Some of the things that affect it, there's going to be three. I think you have two in your outline. But one of them is personality differences. And some of you have, has George covered personality that's different, like cleric, silent, playtime, and all that kind of stuff? Never heard of it. Okay, some of it. Well, you know, with the cleric, they're interested in goals and objectives and production. Just cut down to the bottom line. I've already talked about 20 minutes too long, and I won't get talking for about 12 or 15 minutes. For a cleric, I mean, you know, just give me the bottom line, you know, do it, and move on, you know, type thing. A sanguine lives in the moment, and they just, you know, somebody said, you hear them, they enter a room mouth first. You hear them before they get there. You say, you hear them coming down the hall. And at night, at a conference, and you're in a big dorm, the last one to shut up at night is the sanguine. And the first one to start yakking in the morning is the sanguine. So they're talking to somebody, and they're telling them they're laughing. It's about 2:30 in the morning, and everybody's ready to kill them, you know. And then all of a sudden, and then they come back up about 6:30 the next morning, and they're really going strong. And that's the same. Whatever you do, don't room with the person like that, right? Just tease and use hangers. It's okay. And then there's more of a phlegmatic and then a meltdown. Phlegmatics are kind of they're friendly, not that the other ones aren't friendly, but they're kind of laid back type of individual. But then a melancholy, when you talk to a melancholy, you've got to understand in their personality, you say to them, hi, how are you today? And in melancholy, I have to be melancholy. I'm going, how am I today? Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, my relationship to my wife, with my kids. What do you mean? How am I today? You have to be much more specific than that. Because there are five reasons why, you know, and everybody's like, forget it. I don't want to hear it. Just, you know, how are you? Fine. Good. Okay, that's what I want to hear. Okay, so sometimes personality differences. And so it's really helpful if you understand a little bit about personality because it helps you know how to talk with them individually. Background differences, of course, they just, the family background, the politics, the faith, whatever it is that they come into. And then sex differences. Yeah, there are sex differences in the way people communicate. Women tend to be, not always, but tend to be much more global. Men tend to be more brain damaged. that's not what I mean. They have the ability. Men have like a built-in cassette player in the top of their foreheads. And so, in the fall, you know, football gets stuck in there, and it's just football. And they like that, and then they pull that out Saturday, and they go to church on Sunday, and they put you in the church cassette, you know, and they're church, and they pull it out. Meanwhile, they've got this little sub-cassette, women, you know, it's all the time. That was going all the time. But men in general have ability to segment their life into different little segments. So there can be World War III going on in this one, and they're totally clued out over here. They're someplace else over here. But women tend to be more global. If World War III is going in over here, then it affects everything. Forget it. Just don't talk to me. You know, what's all this stuff? How can you talk to me when all this stuff's going on? But we're at a football game. Why aren't you watching what's going on down there? You know, so anyway, there's definitely sex differences when it comes time for communication types of things. Okay? Research shows that women talk about 25,000 words a day, and men about 12,000. So that's a little over two times as much as men have. Okay, women tend to be more in touch with their emotions, and men tend to be facts oriented. That's not F-A-X, by the way. It's F-A-C-T as facts oriented. Okay, Romans 15:7, wherefore accept one another. So the steps of acceptance there is to realize the person is God's perfect gift, realize and not to accept him as bitterness towards God, and then thank God for that person. James 1:17 says, every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above. Relationships are really gifts. They'll really make life interesting, and without them, loneliness is a pretty hefty thing. It's not something they really have to deal with. The second element is understanding. You know, the goal then, if you have a misunderstanding, the goal is not to win or to lose, but to understand, discern what is then the real need. And, you know, in their sense of sometimes you have to go through that, those processes, 1 through 6. One time I was talking to a girl who was a friend, not a girlfriend, but a girl who was a friend of mine. And I had to communicate with her that I was not, that she was a good girl slash friend, not a girl. I had to tell her that. And because she was misreading some things, and maybe I was miscommunicating some things, I don't know. So as we were sitting over coffee one time at a Pizza Hut, I said, now, I explained the situation. Here's where I'm at in this relationship. Here we are. And this is where I'm at. And I said, so tell me, what did you hear me say? So she said, and I said, I don't know. Well, this is what I meant. And we had to go back and forth 3 or 4 times before we understood each other. So the goal is understanding. It's not, you know, it's not winning or losing. What's interesting about her, that particular woman, is when I see her now, even though I'm married and even though she's married, we're still friends. We can still talk, but there's no hard feeling because we communicated those things out before things got too bad. Okay, so listen and hear, and don't presume. Proverbs 13:10, through presumption comes nothing but strife, but with those who receive counsel is wisdom. Presuming on what another person will say. Okay, and then you have the kindness ones with the virtues. Is that right? You have that. And the goals of communication, of course, is to know. To know and to be known is essential to what? To love. So one of the things may encourage you to communicate better is, you know, a lot of times it ends in the L word, you know, the love word. But that's not the only reason you communicate, guys. Okay, that's just a byproduct of communication. That I can know, and that knowing that there's a sense of understanding, you know, how does the other person function? Why do they think that? Well, it's really interesting. By the way, the Bible says that we're to men, we're to live with our wives in an understanding manner. Is that possible, George? Yeah, that's right. Okay. Well, I needed some input there. So anyway, but we're, you know, that's a challenge for all of life. You know, some guys think they got it all figured out, but they really don't. My wife actually told me today things about the way she was raised that I had never heard before. But, and then, you know, the thought just struck me. You know, here's this woman sitting over here, and there's a lot of areas of her life I don't have a clue. I've only lived with her 15 years now. And I don't have a clue as to some of the things in her childhood, and so forth and so on. So there's a sense of understanding. Second thing is vulnerability. One of the things that's involved in knowing is being vulnerable. Take the risk of exposing your life to others. And there's always a risk of being hurt or rejected. I mean, that just comes into the territory. But as you communicate more, yeah, you're going to put your foot in your mouth. Yeah, you're going to say something wrong. You're going to make some mistakes, but that's how you learn. Is by doing it. So sometimes faith for some people, by the way, is to open their mouths and talk. Faith for other people is to close their mouths and listen. Okay? So you don't always define faith the same way for any kind of of an individual. Then honesty, you know. And now, honesty, I'm not talking about, you know, taking out the double-barreled shotgun and totally blowing people away with your honesty. No, it's tempered with love, you know, type of thing. But it is just telling, you know, it's kind of somebody, some people call it surgical communication. You know, there are times when you need to communicate something with, that may not be real pleasant to communicate. So you got to be very careful, very cautious. You have to choose your words carefully. And then, of course, it's to know and then to love, and that's what we see. And to know someone, you must communicate with them. And that communication then begins to lead to love, and actually loving someone and appreciating them. And then I have a C on part three there that I'm not sure you have. And I put value together in the big one. One of the things that communication does is it teaches you the value of the other person and their thoughts and so forth and so on. So that's kind of a buzz through on a real fast way on communication. I want to throw it open for questions or comments or corrections or additions or something else. Yes?
What do you do on communication breakdown?
Communication breakdown. Well, first thing is kind of find out where it is breaking down. And sometimes you have to go back through the dialogue again, and, you know, now, because there's a lot of ifs in it. Is the other person willing to talk about it to find out where it broke down? I don't know. And so what are my motivations? What are their motivations coming in? If they're willing to talk, that's when you need to sit down and say, okay, now we're both experiencing, I feel there's an alienation there. And so... You know, and then you start getting feedback from the other person to talk through. And again, it's very uncomfortable. Some people just do not like conflict. And they'll go, and so that's why I have to come in and say, listen, I'm not saying you're wrong, I'm not saying I'm wrong, I'm not saying you're bad or I'm bad, or, I'm not saying any of that. I just want to know where things go wrong. I'm totally out of control. You know, and so I'm not attacking you. And that's where the thing comes on. If you value the other person, you value their point of view, then you say, you know, I'm not really attacking you, I just want to know where did these things break down? And what you'll find is that most people have kind of like a grid or what I call a filter. But they'll filter what you say through that. Because they learn that from people. And that may change what you say and what they perceive you saying. And that's why sometimes you've got to work through those first six messages with them. I said this, what do you actually say, you know, so forth. Sometimes you can actually take something for face value. My wife, one morning, she said, again, she's asking a melancholy, right? What do you have on today? Well, I have on a t-shirt and my shorts right now. You know, I mean, that's how I respond to those kinds of questions, you know. And what are you talking about, what I have on today? You know, what she was saying, what's your schedule? You know, so you can take things for a two face value. You know, I start looking at my toes and say, well, I don't have any socks on. That was at much. Of course, I'm kind of that way. Okay, thanks for that question. Yeah. Well, that's when you ask Denise if she can play. She says, what if you want to communicate with someone, so far correct, and you need to tell them something, you're kind of uncomfortable about doing it, when do you know to do that? Okay, yeah, when do you know when it's out of love or whether it's just saying, but that's really true. You need somebody else to help you. Because then, probably, if you took that into Denise and she said, well, why do you need to say this to the person in the first place? And then you say, well, because da-da-da-da, which is where then. You know, so you need a friend. You need somebody to bounce this off of who would then give you some input in saying, kind of sounds like you're just trying to punch them out with your words. You know, they could say that, or they could say, no, I think that's okay. It seems okay. So we do need other people, by the way, to help us communicate. And so it's not just like kind of like we're on our own. We need to talk. But then, you know, have a trusted friend who you know is going to give you some good
to tell the council. You know, they're not afraid to just tell you what they think about, you know, what you just said. That's a really good question. And that's really hard to know, because when you have a miscommunication, it can really be hard on you. Because the other person can be really, really mad at you. They believe you said something that you may not have even intended to say.
this particular drug comes and doesn't come in and destroy the synapses between the left and the right hemisphere, but in the guys it does. That's what I mean. They're brain dead, you know. So they think left and right in separate. They can think of separate things like that, but as women, it tends to be more global. Now, that's a scientific explanation. I don't have all the specific chemicals in that kind of stuff. But it really does. Women have more synapses that cross over from the left brain to the right brain than the men do. And that's where they tend to be more global. Now, that's the explanation that they're giving at this point. Okay? Yeah.
Can I make a defense for the guys?
Yeah. 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 So you're feeling that I'm communicating that I'm attacking the guy. Is that what I hear you saying? Go, go ahead.
I feel that they're not attacking, but they have their own special God-given ways of thinking and communicating. And it's not right or wrong anymore. It's just
right.
All right.
That's right. I think the term brain damage came from the drug coming in and the hormone coming in and destroying the synapse.
I can say that because I'm hearing from the opponent,
That's me. It's God-given, guys, so we have an excuse. That just means we need to communicate it and really hang in there. For guys, it is really something they do in the world, not to do. And, you know, to be really honest, you know, most of the marriage, I do a lot of marriage counseling, and a lot of the reason I do a lot of marriage counseling is because they don't learn. And they decide after 15, 20 years of marriage that they better learn how to communicate with one another, or check it in, because the antagonism has gotten so great, it was not really to get there. And so it is an important issue. Yeah. And plus, it kind of helps when you get on the job, too, when you start talking about it. Okay, George, come take it away. Mm-hmm.